This morning we are returning to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. If you'd like to turn and follow along as we read God's word together, we're turning to Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read the first 11 verses. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God will stand forever. Reading from the English Standard Version, Isaiah chapter 40, we'll look at the first 11 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Lord, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, that we may hear with joy and obedience what you have to say to us today. And we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Verse 1, comfort, comfort. What do you think of when you hear the word comfort? What comes to mind? I think of my recliner at the end of a long day. That is comfort. I think of a hot cup of tea, a fire in the wintertime, plenty of AC in the summertime. I feel like a French fry right now under these spotlights. That's not very comfortable. But I think that's how we think of comfort. It's ease, it's rest, it's relief. It's the absence of strife. But I think Isaiah introduces us to a deeper kind of comfort. You look at verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind, these words come after 39 chapters of judgment. I don't think the outline made it into the insert today due to space, but you remember there's two basic major divisions in the book of Isaiah. The first major division, chapters 1 through 39, is explaining that God is the judge of all nations. You come to verse 40, or chapter 40, and it's as if the clouds have parted. After the darkness of 39 chapters of warning and judgment, the sunlight of grace breaks through. And notice, he's speaking to my people. Comfort, comfort my people. Have they sinned? Yes, they've sinned. Is exile coming at the hands of the Babylonians? Yes, it's coming. Are they abandoned by God? No, they are not. These are still his people. They belong to him. This is not just sentimental comfort. This is real comfort. This is the kind of comfort that deals honestly with sin, but then so glorious with grace and salvation. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Look at this, verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended. God commands his messenger to speak to the heart and to proclaim to his people something heavy is finally coming to an end. Sin is a burden. Sin weighs down the conscience. Sin ages you. It presses on the soul. I love the way John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress describes the burden of sin. You remember Christian is the main character, and Bunyan often portrays him as having this terrible burden of sin on his back and repeatedly describes it as just this crushing and unbearable load until it falls away at the cross. Let me show you two quotes with you. This is one of the classic passages. Quote, "He had a burden upon his back which could neither be erased nor taken off from his back save by the way which I shall show thee." And then a little later he says, quote, "Just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell from off his back, and so continued to do it till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher, where it fell in, and I saw it no more." That classic picture of the conviction of sin and the relief that only comes by the justification of Christ alone. That, I think that's exactly what Isaiah is getting to here. Isaiah says this burden is going to be lifted. The warfare is going to be ended. And yes, they will go to exile. They'll come back out of exile. You know the history there. But their return from Babylon is going to be very similar to a second Exodus, another great deliverance story of the Old Testament. But just like the Exodus, just like the return from Babylonian captivity, these stories are pointing beyond the particular facts of these stories. It's pointing to the great deliverance that is coming in Jesus Christ. The burden of sin is not lifted by the Exodus. The burden of sin is not lifted by deliverance from Babylon. The burden of sin is delivered at Calvary. And when Jesus comes onto the scene of history and he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That is true comfort. That is true comfort. Look at verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received a pardon. Her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double for all her sins. The idea here is that sin is not just a burden. Yes, sin is a burden. But it's not just a burden. It also incurs a penalty. And if sin is to be forgiven, it has to be paid for. And so from the very beginning of the book, God is making this clear. And you think of the Passover story in Egypt. The Passover lamb had to die so judgment would pass over his people. In the law, you see this all throughout the Old Testament. The sacrifices are just teaching us and the people of the Old Testament again and again and again that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. And what Isaiah is looking to in chapter 40 and in the chapters to come, he's pointing forward to the coming Savior. He's pointing forward to Jesus. In chapter 3, he's going to 53, chapter 53, he's going to describe the servant who bears our iniquities, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. That is the logic of the gospel. That's the economy of the gospel. We deserve to pay it, but this incredible news is that our iniquity is pardoned, because if you're in Christ, that debt has been paid by Jesus Christ on your behalf. God does that for you. So the one who pays has to be the God-man, Jesus. And when Isaiah says here in chapter, into verse 2, double for all her sins, that's just a way of saying fully sufficient payment has been made. Fully sufficient payment has been made for your sins in Jesus Christ. Full payment, there's nothing left unpaid. It's double. It's double for all of your sins. And ultimately, that payment doesn't fall on you, but it falls on Christ. And the comfort of God, the comfort that he's introducing to us here in verse 1, it's not just a sentimental feeling of rest and relief. It does include that. But friends, the comfort is substitutionary. Your sin has been dealt with fully and finally and double for all your sins in Jesus Christ. That is true eternal comfort. Verse 3, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Now we see how this comfort comes. It comes through a voice. You have to hear this message. You have to hear this gospel message. And then, of course, we come to the New Testament and we're introduced to this voice is coming from John the Baptist. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, Matthew chapter 3. And how does he prepare the way? It's through repentance. Hear the message. Hear the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Repent of your sins. Turn to that message and embrace it. Turn to that Savior and embrace him. And he gives us a picture here in verse 4. Every valley. This is the imagery of road work. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That is the imagery of road work, clearing obstacles out of the way so that the king may come. Same thing with our hearts, clearing obstacles out of the way of our hearts, taking pride out, taking care of despair, taking care of the crooked ways, making sure the crooked ways are made straight, rough places are smoothed out, turned into plains. Nothing stands in the way of the coming king. And God does this work in us. I think what he's alluding to here is it's very similar to the way road crews reshape a landscape. They come in and they cultivate it and they level it and they clear it. And sometimes, yes, it feels quite disruptive, but it's purposeful. John the Baptist comes clearing clutter out of the way and making a way for the King, the Savior, the Messiah. Now, you've heard this one before. Look at verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. I tried to calculate this yesterday just for fun. My best guess is I have quoted Isaiah 40, verse 8, 1,317 times. I think that's how many sermons I have preached in this pulpit and the old pulpit. That's amazing. And we still need to hear it every week. We still need to hear it every week. Everything else fades. The context here in grass and flowers, they're metaphors for human beings. Some of you think you're going to live forever. I used to think that myself. It's not going to happen. We're fading very rapidly. And nobody ever has as much time as they want or think they had. Circumstances change. People get old. People fail. But here's what you can count on. God's word stands forever. I really do think that this book is the instruction manual for human existence. We want to devote ourselves to it as much as we can. And what God speaks, he accomplishes. In Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. You can build your life on the Word of God. It will not disappoint you. Verse 9. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah. Now, I think this is the climax of the chapter. Behold your God. That is the heart of the message. Very important to understand. The gospel is not advice. The gospel is not just a therapy to help your life circumstances. The gospel is an announcement. It is a declaration of good news. And from Genesis 3:15 onward, the Bible is telling one grand story. God is coming to save, and in Jesus Christ, He has come. What do I do with that message? Behold your God. Turn from your sin. Place your eyes upon God. Place your eyes upon Christ. Don't look at yourself. Look at Him. Behold your God. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. God is powerful beyond all measure. That's been a major theme in the first 39 chapters. God is powerful beyond all measure. His arm rules for Him. Look at verse 15. Just skip ahead a little bit. This is a good one too. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. Remember, that's been a big theme in Isaiah, that He is the God over all the nations. That in God's eyes, the nations are just like a drop in a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the coastlands like a fine dust. The nations are like a drop from a bucket. The nations are like dust on scales in God's eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look at verse 25. To whom then will you compare me? That I should be like Him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. This God rules the nations. Nations are like dust on a scale to Him. This God who created everything, this God who rules by His strong power. But look at verse 11. This same God who rules the universe in power and might, He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The same God who rules the universe gathers His lambs. The same God who numbers the stars, created the stars, holds His people close to His bosom. That is just an incredible thought. That blend of both power and tenderness, majesty and mercy. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. This is who the prophet is saying, behold. Behold this. It is something to behold. It's mind-boggling. Friends, this is the comfort of Isaiah 40. It's not a shallow comfort. It is a saving comfort. And it's a saving comfort because the burden of sin is lifted in Jesus Christ. The penalty of sin is paid in Jesus Christ. The way is prepared for the King, Jesus Christ. The Word of God stands forever and points us to Jesus Christ. And the message that rings out is, behold your God. He is mighty to save. He is also gentle to hold. Comfort, comfort my people. That's not a promise that life is going to be made easy. It's not. But it is a promise that there is comfort in this life because Jesus Christ has come and he carries his people close to his heart, in his bosom, tending his flock like a shepherd. Friends, behold your God, the God who rules the stars. It is the same shepherd who gathers his lambs, pulls them close into his chest, close to his heart. The burden of sin has been lifted. The debt of sin has been paid. The King has come in Jesus Christ. And what we're called to do is repent and believe and take comfort, not in ourselves, but in the Savior who speaks tenderly and gently to his sheep. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the comfort that you speak so tenderly to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts to trust you, to look to you, to behold you, and receive the comfort that only you can provide. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.